Actually, learning Torah today in Shavuos Batamos really connects to the Iker of the day, because if one of the reasons for the Tzom of Shavuos Batamos is that Sarah Akustamos is a Torah, that there was a certain destruction of the Torah, which may have been the Sefer Torah Shabbat Azara, which was Nichtav with all of the Dinim. So it could be, again, there are three Sifrei Torah, the Rambam writes, they used to look at the Mesorah from these teams, so there's a certain loss of the Mesorah that happens based on the Sarah as HaTorah. Again, Shavuos HaBetamos obviously begins this process, so when we learn Torah, to some extent, we don't have that original recourse to the original sources, but we're trying to reconstruct Halacha. Almost like the Gemara in Temura says that Osniel ben Kenaz, Yavet, whatever his name was, is that he was able to reconstruct the Torah. So to a certain extent, that's what we're trying to do, although our pulpul is probably not nearly as effective as theirs. What I want to talk to you about today is Yeridei Simin Kuf Yud Beis Se'if Vav. Kuf Yud Beis Se'if Vav is a very important halacha, but I would say it's important more for the dinim of Bishulei Nochrim than for the dinim of Pas Nochrim, which we are ostensibly studying. You know, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Ches, the Gemara in Beitza there in Tas Zayin, the Gemara speaks about how Dagim Ketanim Meluchim, certain very small fish which are salted, so because they are salted and they're small fish, so therefore you could eat them as they are, so therefore they are considered nechal kemoshehu chai, and consequently there is no iser of bishulei nachrim on these small tiny fish. The Gemara then discusses, well, what happens if you make a kasa daharsana out of this? In none of the cookbooks that I have at home is there a good recipe for kasa daharsana. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I think what they would do is that they would take some kemach and they would mix it with these dagim ketanim. And the Gemara's shaila is, do I assume that the dagim is ikar, and consequently there's no din of bishulei nachrim, or do I assume that the kemach is ikar, and therefore there would be a din of bishulei nachrim? So the maskana of the Gemara is that kimcha ikar, that the ikar thing is the flour, and therefore there is a din of bishul nachrim. So when I have a mixture of two items, one is like a flour, grain-based item, and the other is not, so the Gemara says that lahachmir, right? That Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches, the Gemara in Beitza Tes Zayin, says that we are machmir, and we treat it like there is bishulei nachrim, right? Even though the fish kishala atzmam are nechal kamoshehu chai, and there be no bishulei nachrim, because of the flour, so therefore we are machmir that it's considered bishulei nachrim. The shaila is, and the Gemara's lashon is kimcha ikar, that the ikar is the flour. The shaila is, do I follow this din of ikar with respect to pas nachrim as well, meaning lahakel? Meaning to say, most times when they bake an item, so there is flour in it, but there is also some eggs that I put into the item, no? Most often when you bake, there are eggs in it. And most often, you know, there's also going to be some other things. There's going to be some spices and the like. Do I say that the idea of kimcha ikar, that notion that the flour is the ikar, is only said lahachmir, is only said to tell me that there's an iser bishul nachrim by the kasa daharsana? Or maybe I say kimcha ikar, even lahakel. That's going to be kimcha ikar, and that could even be mekel, that it's considered pas akum and not bishul akum. And as we noted, pas has many more kulas than bishul. So the Balei HaTosfos comment that we say, Tosfos speaks this out very clearly in Beitza on Tes Zayin, The Tosfos in Avodah Zarah is really short. The two long Tosfos in on this topic is the Tosfos in Beitza and the Tosfos in Kulin. Tosfos in Beitza says that we apply the rule of Kimcha Ikar even to bread that is baked and has some eggs in it. We will apply the rule of Kimcha Ikar. However, the end of the Tosfos discusses what about something called the empanada. I don't think any of you were in my shiur for Shabbos. It's a Spanish food, no? Empanada, you could buy it in a restaurant. I don't think any of you were in my shiur for Hilchos Shabbos a couple of weeks ago, where we spent some time on the empanada in terms of whether there's an iser of nolad on Shabbos, because it goes from solid to liquid, no? When you heat up the empanada, so what used to be like a solid jelly type of thing becomes liquefied, and there's no iser of bishul belach on that. 99% of mafarshim say against the lavush, but right, there's a shiloh whether there's a din of nolad. That's the discussion over there in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Bishul Nachrim, so I have the same issue of empanada, and I have a pashtida. A pashtida, as far as I know, a pashtit, pashtida, whatever it is basically like an empanada, but the there is more, it's like a bigger casing. You have less, you have dough on both sides. It's not just like dough on one side. That's what a pashtitz is. But b'kitzur hama'aseh, whatever exactly it is, the Balei HaTosfos tell me in Beitza that even though I am makel on the bread that is baked with the eggs inside it, but I am machmir on this pashtida, this whatever of the dugim, right? If you have fish inside it, and a goy bakes it, so it's going to be machmir. We're machmir on that. And the Balei HaTosfos seem to give two reasons why we are machmir. Reason number one is that the fish, which is inside this pashtitz, the fish was cooked by the guy beforehand. So the fish already became usser mishum bishulei nachrim, and therefore that fish is going to asser the dough as well. The other possibility is that unlike the bread that has eggs inside it, where it is not the en, it's not noticeable, but the pashtitz or the empanada, right, it is noticeable. You look at this, I imagine an empanada is something like a calzone. People remember, you know, the pizza place across the street in YU, depending on what years you were in YU, it was either called the Greasy Spoon, or it was called Time Out Pizza, or it is called Lake Como Pizza. No? Does anyone remember Time Out? Now it's called Lake Como. Okay? My father-in-law remembers when it was called the Greasy Spoon. It's like the worst name possible for a restaurant, no? But the kids are hama'aseh. You go over there, you can buy a calzone. That's something very much like this pashtit, or this empanada. The calzone, Tosfos says, is going to be usser. And there are two reasons why it's usser, a fish calzone. Because the fish was cooked beforehand, it became bishulei nachrim. That's reason one. As opposed to the bread that's made with the eggs inside it, that everything is happening at the same time. And approach two in Tosfos is that the eggs on the eggs inside the bread is not nikar. You don't look at a piece of bread and say, oh, I see a piece of egg here, a piece of egg there. But the calzone, the empanada, you look at it and you see the stuff is here or there. So therefore it is be'en, therefore it is nikar. So there are two reasons, l'cha'ira, why the Ba'alei HaTosfos are machmir on the pashtits, the empanada, but they are makel on the bread with the egg inside it. They assume that, that is, the bread with the egg inside it is nafi shulei nachrim. Now, if I take these two reasons why the pashtits or whatever is usser, if I take them separately, I have a question, which is which reason is governing? Meaning to say, if the reason why the pashtits is usser is because it became bishul akum, the fish was cooked beforehand, it became bishul akum already, and then you're putting it into the dough. So if that's the case, if I have a challah that is covered with egg, no? Okay, here's the chiddush in challah baking, gentlemen. The reason why your challah is shiny is because there's egg on top of it. Yesh la'ayin, does that egg on top of the challah create a situation of bishul akum? Do I assume that that egg on top of the challah is going to be usser? Is it like an empanada? So it depends. If the reason for the empanada is because it's be'en, so therefore the egg on top of the challah is also be'en, and it should be usser. But if the reason why the Balei HaTais is a machmir, an empanada, is because it already became bishul akum, and something that was already bishul akum is already tray food, and when I cook my tray food with bread, I'm only making more tray. I'm not going to make anything mutter. So if that's the case, so my egg on top of my challah, that the egg was never cooked beforehand, so I can't say it was an iser bishul akum already, so therefore it would be mutter. In other words, it seems to me, and this is not like such a chiddush, I think many people say this, that the two reasons why the Balei HaTosfos distinguish between the empanada and the bread with eggs inside it, the ordinary bread, those two reasons should depend on the shayla about challah with egg on top of it. Now, if... Yes, sir. By the way, thank you for asking a question, because it let me just catch my breath. Shkoyach. So I think it's be'en even after I bake it, in that it's noticeable that this is now shiny bread, and therefore I know it's because there is egg on top of it. If you look in the Chilkas Binyamin on page 23, he has a little bit of a discussion in the Beit Urim on page 23, he has a little bit of discussion along the lines of what you're saying. Is Nikar... Is that considered nikar? That's recognizable, but it's on the top. I'm assuming for this conversation, at the beginning of this conversation, we will question it, but I'm assuming that the egg on top of my challah is nikar in the sense of anyone who's baked bread without putting egg on top knows that the bread is not shiny. It only becomes shiny with the egg on top. Consequently, I'd assume that that's nikar. And just to begin the sugya, right, we'll question, analyze, etc. But just to begin the sugya, I would say that the two reasons in the Tosfos should depend on this issue, which is a machlokes harishonim and a machlokes haposkim. Now, among the rishonim, in the Toras Habayis of the Rashba, on page Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph. It's a Tiras Habayis HaKotzer. Mr. Hagler told me right before the shiur that it wasn't so easy to find. I don't remember if I was precise enough. I gave him the Makoros. There's a Tiras Habayis HaKotzer on Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph. Tiras Habayis HaOruch on Tzadi Hei Omer Beis. Tiras Habayis HaKotzer on Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph is mekel on the egg on top of the bread. He says that the egg on top of the bread is going to be tafel to the bread. That's his lashon. many Mefarshim comment, and the Darkei Moshe in Oz Ches, the way we have the Darkei Moshe, he points out that the Lashon HaTosfos, and by that he means Tosfos in Chulin Samach Daled, not the Tosfos in the Avodah Zarah or the Tosfos in Beitza, but Tosfos in Chulin says that the egg on top of the bread is going to be Aser. The Rashba says it's Mutter. The Balei HaTosfos say it's going to be Aser. Now, Balei HaTosfos means the Tosfos in Chulin Samach Daled. Now, if you read the Tosfos in Chulin, he uses a Lashon that it's Al, but the Tosfos in that point seems to be speaking about more of the empanada than he's speaking about the eggs. But nonetheless, so the Rama understood that the Tosfos in Chulin Samach Daled is saying that the eggs on top of the challah are going to be Aser. Now, there is a bit of a question over here, which is for the Rama. Or for the Mechaber, let's say for the Mechaber. For the Mechaber, the eggs on top of the challah are mutter, but the empanada is usser. So we gave two reasons. One reason is that it's nikar. The other reason is that the isser set in beforehand. It could be there's another reason as well. And that other reason is in the Hagos V'Ha'oros on the bottom of the tour, where the Hagos V'Ha'oros writes that the fish is noisein tam into the bread. The egg on top of the bread is only there lanoi. It's only there to make the bread look nicer. But the fish is much more than that. The fish is no same tam, or in one version, it is there, it's Ovid Lataima. So therefore, the fish is more likely to be Aser. Ostensibly, I think what he's getting at is something maybe that Yoni hinted at a few minutes ago. The fish is taka much more nikar than the egg on top of the challah. Nikar in the sense of when there's tam, it's considered nikar to some extent. Nikar in the sense that it really, again, I'm not a baker, I'm not an expert. My guess is that the fish changes the way it looks much more than the egg. It changes the way the challah looks even. I'm not sure about this point, but it's possible that the egg on top of the challah is just a very thin type of shine that is added to the challah, and the pashtida, the pashtits, whatever you want to call it, is more changed by the fish. It could be, therefore, it is more nikar in the sense of it changes the way the dough looks. I think, Yoni, I think this might be what you were referring to a few minutes ago. Perhaps. I don't know. Not exactly. So, b'kitzer hama'aseh, there are a few different approaches as to why the mechaber is machmir on the pashtits, but mekel on the bread with egg even on top of it. Right? The Tosfos is not speaking about bread with egg on top of it. The Pashtus and Tosfos and Beitza is talking about the bread with egg baked in it. But the Mechaber is even mekel on bread with egg on top of it. And he's machmir on the Pashtits. And the reason for that might be that it is no same tam, and it is more nikar. That's, I would say, within the Mechaber, which is a teeny bit different than the distinction we were saying 5 minutes ago within the Taisus itself. Now, how can we touch up this Machlekes Mechaber Ramo? The Mechaber says that the egg on top of the bread is mutter. The Ramo says the egg on top of the bread is usser. What's the nature of the Machlokes? So Elijah Kramer of Vilna, right? I always get my Talmidim on this. What was the Gruz last name? So the Gruz last name was Kramer. One of my Rebbeim told this to us in high school. And he also said that there's this thing called Kramer's Law in Calculus, which the Gra came up with. Well, that second part is not true. But the first part, that the Gra's last name was Kramer, is true. The Gra lived 1720 to 1797. And the Gra over here in Se'if Katin Yud Dalet, the Gra seems to explain that the Machlekes Mechaber Ramah relates to a general shas sugya, whether chazusa milsehi or chazusa lav milsehi. Let's say chazusa milsa or chazusa lav milsa. If I dye wool with peels that came from orla fruit, does the wool become aser b'hana'ah? That's a sugya in Bava Kamma. The Gemara over there is discussing in the sugya of Shinui. Let's say I steal an item from you. So if the item is be'en, if the item has not changed, so I return the item as is. If the item has changed, I pay for the item. I give the cash value of the item. I don't return the item as is. The Gemara discusses about various things, whether they are called a shinui. That's probably half of Perek Merubah and half of Perek HaGozel Kama. Part of that sugya is, if I'm nosin seva litzaba litzbaya, if I give wool to a dyer, so to what extent is that called a shinui, etc.? Based on these sugyas, in Choshen Mish, the Gemara has a discussion whether chazusa milsa or chazusa lav milsa. Is color considered halachically significant or not? Or sheen, is that halachically significant or not? It's chazusa, it's noticeable. And it's a suffek how I paskin in Choshen Mishpat. In Choshen Mishpat, we're not sure whether we paskin chazusa milsa or lav milsa. And therefore, we should be machmir in Choshen Mishpat, however the Chumra ends up. But says the Gra that the Machlaikis over here, between the Mechaber and the Ramah, is that the Mechaber says that the egg on top of my challah is mutter, because the Mechaber holds chazusa lav milsa. But the Rama, who holds that the challah with the egg on top is usser alts bishul akum, the Rama is saying chazusa milsa. That's the way the Gra learns in Os Yud Dalet. Now this is very problematic, and the footnotes on at the end of the Gra Os Yud Dalet says ayin la'el simen kuf beisif katan vav. I believe the footnotes were written by the Talmidim of the Gra, not by the Gra himself. But what they're referencing is that in Yerideya Simen Kuf Beis, which is the Simen of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, we know, is not going to be batal. That's the halacha. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not going to be batal. And in the context of that sugya, in Simen Kuf Beis, it says if I have an egg that is a Dover Sheyesh Le Matirin, and Dover Sheyesh Le Matirin, which is not bottle, is usually when the egg is a full egg. But when the egg is mixed into stuff, it is bottle. But if it's libnu bo ma'achal, if he used that egg to whiten some food, so then it's going to be a davar sheyesh lo matirin, which is not batal. Again, ordinarily davar sheyesh lo matirin, when it's nis'arev legamrei and you don't notice it, is going to be batal. And davar sheyesh lo matirin that's not batal is like if I have a hard egg that's nis'arev, then it's not batal. When it's mixed into stuff, usually it is batal. But libnu bo ma'achal is not batal. So the Gra over there explains that the reason why it's not batal by libnu bo ma'achal is because it's a combination effect of being dover sheyesh lo matirin with chazusa. It's a combination effect of being a dover sheyesh lo matirin and adding color. But ordinarily, says the Gra, adding color alone is still going to be batal. Ordinarily, in regular rules of Yerideya, if I add some color, if the tarfis, right, we know that there's like the beginning of Taruvis has like dozens and dozens of dinim of stuff that's not batal. A beria is not batal, chaticha ru'ila hiskabed is not batal, davishesh matirin is not batal, right? Kuf, kuf aleph, kuf beis, kuf gimel, right? Those are all the dinim. But chazusa is batal, says the Gra. I, in cheshen mishpat, were machmir on the chazusa. So says the Gra, that's only chazusa of isurei hana'a. Right? The case over there is when I use klipe urla to dye something, then it's not going to be batal. But if it's not isurei hana'a, if it's just isurei achila, so the Gra paskins chazusa lav milsa. So if I am reading this Gra in Os Yudalid properly, I think what the footnote at the end of the Gra is saying is that, my dear beloved Gra, you're saying that according to the Ramah, Chazusa is Milsa, but you, Gra, told us in Simen Kuf Beis that if Chazusa is Milsa, that's true only by Isurei Hana'a, not by Isurei Achila. I'm pretty sure that's what the footnote, that's what this note at the end of Gra Os Yudalid is saying. Now, when the Ramah says that Chazusa is Milsa, even though the Gra doesn't hold this way, there are some who assume la halacha that Chazusa really is Milsa. The way Rav Shechter says is that the Prima Godim was a Rosh Hashiva, so he was very organized. Poskim are sometimes not so organized because they just deal with issues as they come up. But Rosh Yeshiva have to give a shiur that you say there are four rules over here, six rules over here. So the Prima Godim in Mishpitzos Zohav, the beginning of Simen Kuf, the Prima Godim over there writes that there are certain things which are not batal, and he gives a list of the things that are not batal. And one of the things that's not batal, says the Prima Godim, is chazusa. Color is not batal. And he has a little bit of a discussion. He says, I'm not sure, I don't know which Rebbe to agree with. Is the idea that color is not batal, is that a din de oraisa? Or is that a din de rabbanon? Is it a din de oraisa that in Yerideya, whenever something is nikar, so there's no bitul shayich, no? Let's say, waiter, there's a fly in my soup, right? So forget the din of a beria. Let's say the fly is missing a wing. But it's not batal. You see the fly, you take the fly out. There's no bittul if it's nikar ha'iser, no? That's a din d'oraisa. So some say, the Pri Chodesh says, that chazusa milsa is a din d'oraisa, it's not batal, because you could see it. Others say no. Chazusa milsa, again, even according to the opinion, the chazusa milsa is a din d'rabbanon. Just like we have a rule in Yerideya on Simen Pei Zayin, that Dover HaMaimid is something that makes a significant change. It goes from milk to cheese. So Dover HaMaimid, there's a din d'rabbanon, it's not batal. So chazusa also is a din derabbanan, it's not batal. So let's just review, okay? The Gra himself paskins chazusa lav milsa. The Gra and kuf beis. The Gra's masbir over here that the mechaber holds chazusa lav milsa, and apparently the Ramah is shelo aliba de hilchasa according to the Gra, because according to the Gra, if I say chazusa milsa, that's only by isurei hana'a. So our Ramah has to be rejected lahalacha, according to Elijah Kramer. However, the Primigodim in that location, in the Mishpatzos Simen Kuf, the Primigodim says that we paskin chazusa milsa. That would be what the Ramah is saying, whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, are two opinions in that Primigodim, it's Simen Kuf, Mishpatzos Zahav, Os Aleph, little letter Gimel, if you want to look in that Primigodim. Okay, so that's one hesber of this dispute between the Mechaber and the Ramah. There are other possible ways of being Megal, or other possible ways of explaining the Machlokas Mechaber Ramah, primarily based on the way we began the conversation, which is the two reasons why Tosfos is machmir on the empanada, but mekel on the bread that has eggs inside it. Now, there is, however, a razzle-dazzle mahalach. I think that's a Rabbi Sabalovsky word, no? A razzle-dazzle mahalach. The razzle-dazzle mahalach over here is found in the tshuva of the Avni Nezer and Simen Sadi Dalet Os Aleph. What are we saying? We're saying that if I have egg on top of bread, so the Mechaber says it's perfectly permitted. The Ramah says it's usser. Right? The Ramah writes, Yesh usser bepas shebetim tochim alpanov, because it's be'en and it's not butl to the pas. And therefore, there's going to be an Isra Bishol Nachrim, and that's the Minig, the Chino Hagim. So the Ramah says it's not Batul, and therefore it's a Din Bishol Akum. Frek the Avni Nezer Akasha. We're going to learn in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel that in order to have the rule of Bishol Nachrim, it has to be something which is Oile al Shulchan Malachim, something that you would serve at a Choshev meal. The tiny bit of egg that you have, the Avni Nezer asks, it's mamish tiny. It's a toach katan. It's a garnished mit garnished. So that would never be served at a chashev meal. It would never be served at all. It's ki'ilu like the skin that a snake shedded. It's mamish nothing there. It's garnished. You're not going to serve that. So frek the Avni Nezer, how could there be a din of Bishol Akum with the egg on top of the challah? How can the Ramah say that that's Bishol Akum when it's not going to be Oila al Shulchan Malachim? Aye, you want to say it's Oila al Shulchan Malachim because people at Choshev meals, they serve bread that is coated with the shiny egg? But says the Avni Nezer, well, if that's the case, it's only Oila Shulchan Malachim outs the bread. And since the bread is not Bishol Akum, it's Pas Akum, so therefore it should be Heter Gomor. And based on this, the Avni Nezer, Hater Greiser Platus, he has broad shoulders, and he disagrees with the Ramah. He says, Ramah, you say it's Usser, I hold it's Mutter, but because it's not Oile al Shulchan Malachim. That's what the Avni Nezer suggests. Now, Yesh Makom to suggest that the Machlokes over here, you want to call it a Machlokes Avni Nezer and Ramah, or maybe you want to call it a Machlokes Mechaber and Ramah, The Mechaber remembers Mekel on the egg on top of the bread. Maybe it's because the Mechaber holds it's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, and the Rambam says it is Olal Shulchan Malachim. What's the pshat? There's a chakir about how I define Olal Shulchan Malachim. Is Olal Shulchan Malachim based on the min, or is it based on the ma'achal? No? For example, tuna. You could go to a fancy meal, and you have a whole tuna out there, and it's mamish wearing a tuxedo. It looks like it's preparing for its wake. Aza tuna, no? What a beautiful tuna. Such a tuna for sure is Eile al Shulchan Malachim, no? They serve it at the fanciest meals. You could also have tuna in a can. The min of tuna is Eile al Shulchan Malachim. Again, canned tuna is going to be a separate conversation about Bishul Akum. But the min is Eila al Shulchan Malachim. The particular ma'achol, the way this food was prepared, it is not Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So what's the din? Do I follow the min, or do I follow the ma'achol? Nafgamina, potato chips, no? Potatoes. Does anyone serve potatoes at a fancy meal? So the answer, of course, is yes. No, you go to a chasana, and they have part of the shmur. There used to be weddings. And there used to be, well, they still are weddings, Baruch Hashem. There used to be shmurgs at weddings. And you go to a shmurg, and you see these potatoes, right? And they look beautiful. It's Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's at a wedding. It's beautiful. So a potato, for sure, is Olal Shulchan Malachim. Potato chips. They're not Olal Shulchan Malachim, no? No one serves potato chips at a fancy dinner. Although, as we commented one time, the current occupant of the White House might have changed certain standards, but I don't know if they have potato chips. So, no one would serve a potato chip, but you would serve a potato at a wedding. But when you think about it, a potato chip is ostensibly a potato that's just cut very fine. No? If you take a potato and you cut it in two pieces, that's the potato that they serve at a wedding. You take a potato and they cut it in 100 pieces, so no one would serve that at a wedding. That's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. So the shaila is, can you say that? Can you say that potato chips are not subject to Bishul Nachrim? Or do you say that potatoes are a subject? Right? So this is totally in the discussion of min versus ma'ichol. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted that he was... I gave you a marimakom in the RJJ journal, the Journal of Halach and Contemporary Society, volume 42. I didn't check if this volume was online or not. I have them at home. In RJJ volume 42, there's an article by Rabbi Moshe Rosenstein, who works for the CRC. Excuse me for a second. One of the advantages of being in the base medrash is I have a very big table to spread out. I don't have the same advantage now. But Rabbi Moshe Rosenstein, who works for the CRC, has this article about whether potato chips are subject to Bishul Akum. They quote that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was machmir that he would not eat wise potato chips. The Breuer's Hashgacha, only the Breuer's Kehillah. At one point I was involved in trying to give Hashgacha on a restaurant here in the Heights. And Breuer's has certain standards that you can only use stuff that has their hashgacha. They won't use Wise potato chips. They'll only use Lieber's potato chips, which are Bishul Yisrael. That shaila of the potato chips might depend on this machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, no? Because if you hold like the Ramah, so the egg on top of the challah is upon a Bishul Akum. I frek the Avnei Nezer. What do you mean? A tiny bit of egg is never going to be Eila al Shulchan Malachim? The answer is, yeah, but the min of egg is Eila al Shulchan Malachim. It's clear in the Gemara that eggs are subject to Bishul Akum. The min is Eila al Shulchan Malachim. But this particular Meichel, this particular very thin egg, it's mamish, right? Egg on challah is mamish a potato chip, right? It's exactly the same thing. So according to the Mechaber, we would say that it should be mutter. According to the Ramah, right? So hasvara no senes, that it should be aser. Again, how come we're making la halacha on the potato chips is something that we can discuss on a different occasion. But just al rego achas, Reb Asher Weiss has a shuv, I believe, in volume 1 of his Minchas Asher, where he says that potato chips are not subject to Bishul Akum, because Bishul Akum is only shayich on foods which are served at meals. A food that is only edible as a snack, no? Some of my kids would eat potato chips as a full meal. But l'daitam etzel kol b'nei adam, right? Most people, potato chips is not a meal. Potato chips is a snack. Reb Asher Weiss contends that snack foods are not subject to the rules of Bishulei Nachrim, maybe that's the cooler by potato chips. But Sevara no senes, that this should be totally in the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Now, let's go a teeny bit weiter in the sugya. The Mechaber says that bread with egg in it is not a problem, but the empanada is a problem. And if I read the Mechaber in Se'if Vav carefully, the Mechaber writes, in panada sha'afa agoy, osir la'echoil, mehapas shala. That the empanada makes the bread osir. Not only is the fish, let's say, in this calzone osir, but all the bread becomes usr. Apparently, the empanada is going to shreif up all the bread. Yesh la'ayin, is this correct? And in the Chalkas Binyamin, he discusses this as well. Chalkas Binyamin, Sifkat in Nuntes and elsewhere. He discusses, well, maybe it should be batal. You see, the rule is that pas akum is batal b'rayv. If I have a mixture of Goyish bread with Jewish bread, it's batal b'rayv. Yesh la'ayin is bishul akum batal b'rayv also. That's the opinion of the Shach. The opinion of the Vilna Gaon is that bishul akum is batal b'shishim. Bishul akum is mamish like machalos hasuros, it's batal b'shishim. So when the Mechaber says that the entire bread is aser, l'cha'ayra, that means it's not batal b'rayv. That would mean that you have to assume that's batal b'shishim. Yesh lachkar, according to the Ramah. The Ramah says that if I have a challah with egg on top of it, it's treif. Well, what's treif? Is the egg treif? Let's say I would take a scalpel and remove the egg. Right? Can I eat the rest of the challah? Is the egg treif? Or does the egg treif up the challah? Right? It's not clear in the Ramah. Not clear in the Ramah whether the egg would treif up the challah. The Chalkas Binyamin feels that this depends on the machlokes between the Gra and the Shach that we noted earlier. It seems to me that this is actually two gersaos in the Taisus. Look in the Taisus in Beitza on Tassayin Amid Beis. Taisus is talking about the empanada, no? And Taisus quotes, Yesh shemesirim hashuman v'ochlan osam b'kahai gavna. You see the way we have the Taisus? Yesh shemesirim hashuman. That means that the shmalts, the fish shmalts in the empanada, they remove it. Apparently that fish shmalts doesn't treif up anything else, because whatever will remain after you remove it is going to be batal b'rayv, heter gomer. However, the Bach changes the gears on the Taisus. Again, if you don't like this, just say Schwartz said it and I don't like it. There's no one else to blame on this besides me. But the Bach changes the Geiris and the Tosfos. The Bach writes, instead of Yesh Meisirin Hashuman, that Yesh Shematirin Hashuman. No? The Bach seems to be saying that there is an opinion that the schmaltz of the fish is not going to be subject to Bishul Akum, probably because since the fish schmaltz is part of a calzone with the bread, so the Iker Zach is the bread, and the fish schmaltz is just adding a little bit to the bread, so therefore it's not subject to Bishul Akum, it's primarily bread. Right, so there are two gersos in the Taisis. Yesh Meisirin Hashuman and Yesh Shematirin Hashuman. When I was thinking about it this morning, so I thought of the idea of Rav Schechter quote that one of the editors of the Vilna Shas was Rav Shlomo of Vilna, the Cheshek Shlomo on the back of the Gemara. Rav Shlomo of Vilna spoke obviously in Ashkenazis because he's from Vilna. And sometimes, for example, in Erevin you see the word Pesach, which should mean doorway, and it's spelled with a samach, not a saf. Because if you speak Ashkenazis, you can make these mistakes. So I thought Yeshe Matirin and Yeshe Meisirin could be, if you speak Ashkenazis, right, maybe it's Yeshe Masirin. I don't know, but that's just bad dicta. But this is just like when you haven't had breakfast, sometimes you think in weird ways. But, the gears of Yeshe Masirin, I think, would imply, like the Shach, that it doesn't aser more than Raiv, that Bishul Akum doesn't aser more than Raiv. So if I can remove the Shuman, everything else is going to be mutter. Let's make a few more Ha'aros over here, gentlemen. The end of the Taisvis, the end of the Taisvis in Beitza, the end of the Rama over here, speaks about Kichlach. Kichlach and Lekach, no? I remember going with my father as a kid, went to the Lubavitch Rebbe to get lekach, right? It's a honey cake, no? And if you don't know what kichlach are, that means you haven't been to Shalosh Shudas in a while, right? And every Jewish shul serves kichlach at Shalosh Shudas, no? If you don't serve a kichol, so you might be a shul, but you're not a Jewish shul. But b'kitra ma'isa, kichlach and lekach. So, is this called pas or not? So it's a machlokes in the Taisus and Beitza. There was an opinion who was makel on the kichlach and lekach, and that's probably because you make a burim named mezonos on it. You don't make a hamotzi. Rabbi Yechiel says that, you know what? It's really considered pas, akum, because since if you'd be koveya se'uda on it, you would make a hamotzi. So therefore it has the status of bread, and therefore it is going to be mutter. I said a little bit backwards. The kichlach or the nailush, the first opinion Taisus is that since it's not a hamotzi, since it's a mezono, so it's more machmir, it's subject to bishul akum. The second opinion says no, it could be a hamotzi. If you'd be koveya se'uda on it, it would be a hamotzi. And therefore it is going to be pas akum and not bishul akum. And the Rama over here paskins that kichlach are considered pas akum. Gevaldik. The thing is that the shach over here in Os Yud Ches, and there's a teeny bit of a girsa issue in this shach, but it's based on Tiras Chakas, so the way they amend the text is correct. The Shach says that only kichlach, which are oblila ova, are called pas akum. There are two things in the world. There's batter and there's dough. Batter is liquidy. You make pancakes out of batter. You can pour it. Dough is like clay texture, no? It's more of a solid than a liquid. Especially if what they told you in elementary school is correct, that a liquid takes on the shape of the container and a solid doesn't. Right, so batter is a liquid, and dough is a solid. Says the Shach, the only time that kichlach are going to be pas akum is when it's blila ova of kichlach, when you're making the kichol from dough. But if you make the kichol from batter, so then it's going to be bishalakam, it's going to be more machmir. Now this is a very troubling shach. The Mishnah in the first parak of Chala, parak Aleph Mishnah Hey. So the Mishnah speaks about Isa Shablilasa Shetrilaso Isa Vesofa Sufganin. There's a whole machlokes harishonim how to understand that Mishnah. But basically, Acharei Kechlos HaKol, when all the dust settles, in Yeridei Yosim in Shin Chavtes in the Halachas of Chala, we paskin that there are two ways of making something Chayiv and Chala. Either if it is a Belila Ova, either a dough is Chayiv and Chala. Chala, by the way, is the example of bread min ha-Torah. No? Matzah is bread min ha-Torah. Chala is bread min ha-Torah. The Halacha of Havrashas Chala. So there are two ways to be chayiv in hafreshes challah. Either a dough is chayiv in hafreshes challah, even if you cook the dough. No? You take dough and you put it in a pot of boiling water, chayiv in hafreshes challah. Or if I have blila raka, I have a batter, but I bake the batter, so it's also chayiv in, I think certain types of sponge cakes are like that, no? It's mamish like a batter, and you bake it in the oven. So that is going to be chayiv and chala also. A blila raka shene'efe is also chayiv and chala. So everyone, including the Avnei Nezer, Simin, Sadi Dalet, Os Gimel, they jump up and down and they spit wood and nickels and they say, Shach, we don't understand you. How could it be that a blila raka is exempt from the rules of Pasakam? How can you tell me that blila raka is more chamor? And it's considered bishal akum, right? Blila raka shene'efe should be pas akum. And in fact, la halacha, if you look in the Chilkas Binyamin, I'd have to look more carefully at my notes what sifkatin it is, but in the Chilkas Binyamin, he says that we don't paskin like the shach. The Achronim don't paskin like the shach over here. Because we hold that a blila raka that is baked has the din of challah. Now here's the thing, you know. Yesh la'ayin. What is considered the governing rule of bread for purposes of pas akum? Is the governing rule of bread based on the dinim of challah? Or maybe the governing rule of bread is based on the dinim of hamotzi versus mizonos? Now, if you read the end of the Tosis in Beitza, so Tosis quotes the opinion that nilish is bishol nachrim. It's not pas. But Rabbeinu Yechiel says, no, that nilish is pas. Why? One, kevan de derech afiyas pas ovid lahu. It's made through baking. Va'od ikavas udase alei mevarech hamotzi. So there seems to be two reasons in the Rabbeinu Yechiel. Reason one is baking versus not baking, which I would interpret as being what we call the halachas of challah. Even if nilish is blila raka, a blila raka that is cooked is bishul akum. A blila raka that's baked, right, is going to be is afiyah, derech afiyah, it's chayiv and chala. So reason one of the Rabbeinu Yechiel, I would contend, is based on the halachas of chala. Reason number two of the Rabbeinu Yechiel is based on the halachas of mizonos, as a mizonos versus hamotzi, right, birchas hanehen in halachos, rather than halachos do'iraisa of challah. So yesh lachar, what's the governing factor by pas akum? Is it hamotzi? But we have a broader take that hamotzi means anything that you could make hamotzi on. Or I say, no, it's not hamotzi. The governing thing is chi of challah min ha-Torah. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Se'if Lamed Aleph, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's governed by the rules of challah. If you look in the Pri Chodesh says it's governed by the rules not of challah, it's governed by the rules of hamotzi. And you know what, gentlemen? There could be a huge nafkamina on this lahalacha, which is by a sufganiyah. Okay, a sufganiyah is a blila ova. Right? Do I have to explain what sufganiyot are? I know Chanukah was a while ago. Kenzine people forgot. But a sufganiyah is a blila ova, it's a dough. But you cook it in water. Right? You cook it in boiling water. Now, what's the halacha? We paskin that a blila ova that is cooked is chayiv and chala. Tchilaso isa v'seifa sufganin is chayiv and chala. So the Rabbeinu Tam in Taisus in Pesachim Lamed Zayin says, Hu hadin, you make a hamotzi on a sufganiyah. But the Rat, right, this is unbelievable. The Rash Mishans says, I could give a shir about this next Chanukah, your Chanukah party. The Rash Mishan says, no, a blila of shenis bashel, you'll make a mizonos on it. That's what the Rash Mishan says. In Shulchan Aruch, it says, we follow the Rash Mishans, we make a mizonos, and a yarei shamayim should not eat it. Right? So if you want to know what frum kite is, real frum kite is, Kufsa mechasen arachayin sif yud gimel. Frumkite means not eating sufganiyot. Not because of nishmatim ul nafshei seichem, but because the shail on the bracha. Rabbeinu Tam versus the Rash Mishans. But the Rash Mishans goes a step further than the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rash Mishans says that if I have a blila ova that I cook, and I intended to cook that blila ova forever, so then it's not even chayiv and chala min hatayva. The only time a blila ova that's cooked is chayiv and chala is when you intended to bake it and you change your mind and you cook it. But if you have a blila ova that you cook and you always intended to cook it, so it's not even chayiv and chala. And according to the Rash Mishans, if I eat a million donuts, I'm at a Chanukah party, I eat a million donuts, I'm koveya se'uda...
If you eat a million donuts, you're dead!
If I'm koveya se'uda on my sufganiyot, do I make a hamotzi? Do I bench when I'm koveya se'uda on sufganiyot? Mishnah Berurah Paskins, don't do that. Mishnah Berurah Paskins, since it's a suffix, so you're yotze when you make
a million donuts,
I heard you, Yosef Delph. Right? The... Mishnah Berurah Paskin, since you're Yotzei, if you make an Al HaMichya instead of a Birkas HaMazon, so even if you're Koveya Se'udan Sufganiyot, you don't bench. You don't bench. So Sufganiyot, the way we Paskin in Arachayim, Kuf Samaches Sif Yud Gimel, are Mamish HaMazonos. And it's a Mazonos that will never become a Hamotzi. But we're Machmir in Hilchas Chala to be Mafrish Chala from it. In other words, in Hilchas Chala, we're machmir like the Rabbeinu Tam. In Hilchas Birchas Hanehenin, we hold like the Rash Mishans. So Yesh La'ayin, what's the status in Hilchos Pas Akum? Chacham Ovad Yosef discusses this in the Tshuva, in the Yechaved Das, Chela Kesem, and Nun Gimel. Many Sfaradim have a minhag. The minhag apparently in Turkey and in Tunisia was that they held like the Ramah about Pas Palter, that they would eat Goyisha bakery bread even when there is a Jewish baker around. But most Sfaradim are Machmir, and that's probably the proper thing. What about Sufganiyot? Is it a problem or not? So Chacham Ovadia discusses, in many of the hotels and restaurants in Israel, they have Goyim doing the cooking. So Chacham Ovadia says, you know what, it could be that we're going to be mekel, that there's no din of bishul akum or pas akum. We're going to be mekel that's considered pas. And we're going to be mekel like this minhag of some who are mekel, of some sfaradim who are mekel on pas. Why do we consider it pas? Well, we consider it pas because it's chayiv and chala. Even though for birchas hanehenin it's a mizonos, and it'll never become a hamotzi, still it's chayiv and chala. And therefore mekel. Look at that tshuva, Chelakei of Yechaveda Simin Nun Gimel. It's a very beautiful tshuva. He also says another kula at the end, maybe we're making the sufganiyot for a different reason, because there's no Bishul Akum, Beis Hoshal Yisrael, but that's already for later conversations. Okay, so gentlemen, what we discussed today is a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah about the status of challah with egg on top of it. Mechaber says it's mutter, the Ramah says it's usser. The Ramah might say it's usser because it is nikar, it's be'en, therefore it's not going to be batal. The Ramah also might say it's usser because he holds chazusa milsehi. Or, alternatively, right, that was the second approach, is what the Gras said. Alternatively, we have the razzle-dazzle approach of the Amnei Nezer, that the Ramah says it's usser because the Ramah holds that the rules of Bishul Akum are subject on the min, on the type of food, on the category of food, rather than the maichel, rather than the specific way that the food is prepared. Nafgamina, we said, is for potato chips. Then we discuss the end of the Ramah, about the kichlach, etc. Kichlach havadin, pasaba bekisnin, has a din of bread for pas akum purposes. The shach is very difficult. He says it has to be a blila ava, a very difficult shach. We raise the question also, what's the pshat in this Ramah? Is the pshat in the Ramah that pas akum is governed based on the halachos of challah, or maybe pas akum is governed based on the halachos of hamotzi, but anything that could be hamotzi in any possible way is subject to pas akum. Okay, chevra, before I ask for questions, comments, observations, and jokes, I was told that in July's man in yeshiva, we don't have shir on Sundays. So the next year that we'll have on Be'ezus Hashem will be on Monday. This is the psak I got from the Reitz administration, that July is man, we don't have shir on Sundays. Obviously, everyone should have a meaningful fast, and etc. We should be zocha to rebuild Yerushalayim b'mehera b'yameinu. Any questions, comments, or observations? Yes, Rabbi Shlomovitz.
Yeah, I didn't want to ask this before because it didn't seem so shaykh to the shiur.
Can you just speak a teeny bit louder?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you, yeah.
Oh, okay. On the Tosafot, it seems like on the one hand, he's talking about that there's no issue of Bishul Akum because it's Nechal Kumuchu Chai, you know, you can eat it raw, no problem. But then in the next Tosafot, it seems like the issue is that once you've pickled it, it is cooked, and that act of cooking, if it's done by the Jew chemically cooking it, it's cooked by the Jew. And if the Goy does it, he's chemically cooking it, and it's cooked by the Goy. And so there's no issue.
And so I thought what Tosfos meant is like this, that the little fish are salted by the Goy. Once they're salted, they're edible. Therefore, it's considered nechal kamo shulchai. Once it's nechal kamo shulchai, right, even if a guy cooks it, it's going to be okay. Because the food is already edible. That's the way I understood it.
But then in the next Tosafot, he seems to be saying that if the guy does it, then it's bishul akum davka. But if the Jew does it, even if the goy reheats it, it's no problem.
Oh yeah, the next tosis, no man tosis in avodah zarah. The tosis in avodah zarah.
Yeah, dibro matchil dagim ktanim.
Dibro matchil la'olam, which one?
Dagim ktanim meluchim.
Dagim ktanim. Oh, 1 second. I mean, what I remember from this Tosfot is just the very end, that Tosis distinguishes between very tiny fish and between fish that are slightly larger. That's what I remember from the Tosfot. Which line are you pointing to in the Tosfot? Oh, yeah, there is a bit of a girsa issue in the Tosafot, but again, I think that's because we're talking about the type of fish that could potentially, that the salting does not make that fish fully edible. My understanding is that the end of Tosafot is like touching up the whole beginning. that if you have a slightly larger fish, so it doesn't become edible just by the salting. That was the way I understand. Again, I'd have to look at this with more Yishuv Hadas, but... any other questions, comments? Okay, gentlemen. So thank you for coming to learn, and Bezus Hashem, we'll see you on Monday. Kotov.
Thank you, Rob.
Sure, Kotov.